You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM.
Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM presents Everything Special Needs, a weekly program discussing topics and important resources concerning the special needs community. And now, here's the host of Everything Special Needs, Sue Schilling.
Welcome to Everything Special Needs on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS FM. My name is Sue Schilling, and from now till 5:30, we will be your home for Everything Special Needs. Today, we're going to be talking about travel training, using public transportation to travel both safely and effectively. We're also going to get into a little bit of stranger danger, pedestrian safety, and things of that nature. We're going to be talking to Rowan University alumni Anthony Johnson, who is the deputy director of the partnership TMA. Anthony, thank you for joining us. And tell us what the TMA is.
Sure. TMAs are nonprofits that are in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, and we work on any type of transportation issue at all people have. So if, you know, the road is closed in your neighborhood and you're wondering when that construction will be over, we can help you figure out that, you know, timeline. We can help you figure out what public transportation is in your area. If you're trying to sign up for paratransit or senior shared ride, we can, you know, get you those applications and make sure you're eligible for those programs. And we also help with travel training, which we'll talk more about, but, you know, just helping people become familiar with and used to, you know, navigating their community in ways that they haven't thought about before.
And it really can be life-altering, because you see people that the fact that they didn't have transportation held them back, and with these services, they're able to participate in something that they wouldn't have been able to.
Oh, that's so true. And I see it every day where, you know, we're having younger people call in about their parents, you know, how they call it the sandwich generation, like people in their 40s or 50s, and they have, you know, parents in their 70s, maybe even 80s. And then these people in the 40s and 50s also have younger you know, children, but they're trying to find ways around the community for their 70, 80-year-old parents who've driven all their lives. And so how do you introduce them to public transportation, or the ideal of, you know, taking paratransit, or the ideal of sharing a ride with someone? And it gets pretty hard, you know, those conversations you need to have with an elderly person about, okay, you know, it's time to stop driving now. We got to take the keys from you. So travel training tries to, you know, find out ways to get around that for either professionals or for people who want to take it upon themselves to teach their family members.
Tell us a little bit more about the field of travel training. When did it start, and what does a travel trainer do?
Oh, great question. I'm glad you asked. Travel training started in the 1970s, I believe, out of New York City. The Department of Public Education there wanted the schools figured out, you know, it would cost so much to bus their students to all the schools in the five boroughs that they said, how can we teach these students how to take this wonderful subway system that we already have in the city, wonderful bus system that we already have in New York City? So New York City schools started to employ travel trainers, or people who were, you know, expressly trained in getting people to ride public transportation. And so now that's what we do. You know, I happen to work with SEPTA, but we have people in New Jersey who work for New Jersey Transit. You know, people in New York City work for MTA, Boston. Wherever you go, there's a travel trainer somewhere.
And it's interesting, and that's why I love having you on to talk about this, because these are things that a lot of people, they don't realize, you know, because when we just talked about how transportation can be a sticking point, but a lot of people, they don't know that there are actual travel trainers out there.
Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, sometimes you have to do a little legwork if you don't know the Professional Association of Travel Trainers, and we'll, you know, talk more about that later, how to find them on the web or give them a call. But you know, if even if you call the transit agency directly, some of those staff members might not know that they have professional travel trainers on staff. So sometimes you do have to do a little homework, but most of your larger travel agencies and even the mid-sized ones are going to have, you know, professionals who are trained to help people get around, to use the system. And if you are trying to think of a department that you might want to contact, is either human resources or the operations department at, you know, at a mid-size or large travel agency, transit agency, and they can probably connect you right to the travel trainers.
And then I know that you like to keep an open line and for people to, you make yourself available as well, correct?
Yes. And we have a toll-free number that anyone can call in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. It's called the Mobility Hotline. And I'll give that number. It's 866-507-4857. So again, that's toll free 866-507-4857. And that's a number that rings right to my desk. You know, I answer it daily 9 to 5, and any transportation questions you have at all, you know, no matter what state you're in or, you know, city you're worried about, you know, navigating, I can get you the answers you need.
You know, we wrote everything out, but, you know, I don't like to stick to the script. So I have some other questions that they've come up for you. Now, I know you go into the schools.
Yes, work a lot with schools.
Okay. What and it just got me because you were talking about questions that people have. So what are the biggest questions that the kid now, and the kids that you speak to, they have various special needs when you go into the classroom. So what are the biggest questions that they ask you about transportation that the kids ask you?
Yeah, in Pennsylvania, we're going through a new fare payment system on SEPTA called SEPTA Key, where instead of using tokens like you would, now it's a card that you tap onto, you know, this little computer next to the driver, and it, you know, deducts the money from that card. It looks like a little MasterCard. But so the students really have a lot of questions about that, because before with travel training and tokens, it was easy to teach that concept of one token for one ride. But when the tokens went away and now you have this card, and they're like, okay, I pay this card, but do I give the driver the card? No, you just tap the card against the glass. Well, if I tap it against the glass, like, is it going to charge me 2 times if I make a mistake and tap it twice? So it's just, you know, getting them used to using this new form of payment. And you'll see these in other cities like Washington, D.C. and Boston. So,
and I know PATCO's changing some of the stuff they're doing too.
Oh, yeah. I think theirs is a Freedom Card or something.
Right.
Like
and
that.
They're upgrading. I was just reading online that they're upgrading that system too.
PATCO is a great system.
Right. And they're undergoing some changes as well. And the other question is, you know, we had mentioned a couple of years ago that I was going to come in and speak with your class, and I still haven't gotten in there yet, so we were going to work on that, right? I get to come in there?
Oh, yeah. The students would love to talk with you.
Okay.
So I can't, you know, predict what they'll ask because, you know, there's always a curveball somewhere in there.
With me or with them?
Oh, boy, I forgot about with you, yeah. I was thinking about the students. I forgot about with the guest.
Yeah, so, all right, we'll have to get that organized. But we're talking to Anthony Johnson, who is the deputy director of the partnership TMA, and some
very valuable information that Anthony is sharing with us here on Everything Special Needs, heard every Thursday 5 to 5:30 on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS FM.
Is travel training the same as orientation and mobility?
No, and that's another big question that we always talk about in our field. A lot of misconceptions we have to clear up. So travel training is, think of it as the basic skills people need to, you know, to ride a bus or a train. Whereas orientation and mobility, the travel trainers have undergone an extra amount of training to teach either people with low vision or who are hearing impaired to be able to navigate public transit. So it's orientation and mobility is a higher form of travel training, you know, a more specialized area of travel training.
What areas do you focus on when travel training with different groups of people?
Yeah, so sometimes with seniors, and my boss and I always laugh about this, they want to get either to the casino or to doctor's appointments. They don't really care so much about shopping. They don't care so much about social engagements, but they want to get to either a casino or, you know, to medical appointments. So, you know, it takes when we use the shared ride system with them, getting them used to the idea of if you have a doctor's appointment at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday, that, you know, you might have to get on the bus as early as 12:30 and ride around with these people. And, you know, some of the seniors don't want to hear it. They want that bus there a half hour before the doctor's appointment. And we tell them it's a public system. You know, you have to have some sort of sacrifice. And what you're sacrificing is the convenience.
Right.
You know, and so I would say that works with the seniors. Now, with students, they want to play, of course, or to go fun places. So they never want to go to museums. They never want to go to libraries, you know, places I would like to take them. They would rather go take a tour of the Phillies ballpark, or they would rather have a picnic lunch in the park or something like that. So, you know, it's a balance for sure, because the schools see the benefit of travel training. But I think when we come up with trip ideals for the students, the schools think, you know, yeah, you're teaching them how to ride the bus, but we don't really see the value of, you know, taking them out for a whole school day to go play in the park.
Right.
So let's make sure something educational or something like that. So it's a fine line.
So, but the balance. So what are the actual trips have you ended up doing?
Oh, well, we actually did a really cool one with Wissahickon High School last month, where there's an ice cream shop in Flowertown on Bethlehem Pike called Night Light Ice Cream. Mm-hmm. And it's all students on the spectrum who either work there or make the product.
Oh, cool.
So they're making the ice cream, they're making the water ice, they're cooking the hot dogs, and then they're selling it to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was nice because our students tend to be on the spectrum also. So, you know, seeing, taking them to the ice cream shop so that they could see one of the places that might be an employment opportunity for them.
Oh, great.
And
yeah,
getting to talk with the manager. So it was really cool. It was a beautiful sunny day. They have outside seating. The prices are great. You know, if you compare it with like a Rita's, where it's $3 or $4, Night Lights maybe like $1 or $2 for a cup of water ice. So it really is a great experience. I encourage anyone to take. And the Route 94 bus stops right in front of the door.
Yeah. And that's pretty cool also, because besides seeing and meeting the future employer, the fact that it's got to be, I would think, also inspirational, seeing, okay, there's people in the same boat as me and they're working.
Yeah, yeah, because we don't, you know, we definitely don't want to coddle them or, you know, let the students believe that they're, you know, that they don't have skills that other people have. So, like you said, if they go to Night Light and they see people working the cash register, you know, churning ice cream or however you make ice cream, I don't even know how you make ice cream. But, you know, if they see students who look like them, you know, doing all these job opportunities, then they can see, you know, that same possibility.
And did you find, what was their reaction when they went there?
Oh, they thought it was so cool. Well, first I had to get them out of the outdoor seating. They have this huge beach chair that seats like 3 people, and it's, you know, maybe like 10 or 15 feet tall. So you climb up into it and you take all kinds of selfies and stuff. But once they got out of that and they were talking with the managers about, oh, what's he doing back there? What's she doing? And what, you know,
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really nice.
That's great. So there's a lot of trips. So I guess it's working with the schools and balancing out with something that the kids will be somewhat interested in.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, the schools, I don't want to say that they that they don't want the students to have fun. Of course, they want them to have fun. But, you know, I can understand not taking them out of school for the whole day, you know, for a picnic.
Right,
you know,
right.
That probably wouldn't be the best use of time.
So something that they can get some value out of.
Yeah. Yeah.
That do have these special needs are the best employees.
Oh, yeah. You know, I have a couple instances where I work with North Penn High School, and what their teachers do, how I was talking about that fine line between fun and so the students actually go on mock interviews for my travel training trip. So one time we took them to the Hers potato chip plant in Hatfield.
Sounds fun.
And they got free samples. So it was fun in that sense. But, you know, the human resources people there really, you know, sat down with them and asked them some really, you know, valid questions that you would answer in a job interview. Why do you want to work here? Why should we hire you? You know, what's your ideal type of work environment? And so it was nice to be able to combine travel training with some real world, you know, experience for them through the mock interviews.
Right. And also the with this also learning the money skills, mm-hmm. so they can work their cash register, just learning basic money skills, and those are skills important, so you're able to work the register.
That's true. And, you know, I keep coming back to travel training, but I guess that's why I'm here, right?
Right.
To talk about travel training. But I actually have a coworker who comes with me, and we do some role-playing around counting money, like when you're buying a ticket for the train or something like that. And one of the hardest concepts for the students to grasp is the idea of counting your change, you know. And so no matter how many times we'll, you know, give the student a $20 bill and say tickets are $5. And, you know, the student comes up to the pretend agent and says, I want one ticket. And, you know, if I'm the ticket agent, I'll give back a $10 bill instead of 15. Mm-hmm. And the student says, okay, thank you, and walks away. And we're like, hey, you know, what did you just forget to do? And, you know, and that's such an important skill, because once you leave that ticket counter, it's like at a bank. If you go to a bank to withdraw $300 and you leave the teller and you say, you didn't give me $300. You only gave me $200. They can say, once you walked away from the teller window, they don't know what you did with the money. So, you know, it's your word against theirs. So, yeah, it's really important. A really important skill in travel training is to count your change when you leave the ticket counter.
Very important. And because and if they see that you're vulnerable, you know, you never know.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, unfortunately, you do have some people like that, you know, who take advantage of, you know, their customers and, you know, might not give them the right change on purpose. I like to think oftentimes it's just a mistake.
But, it could be a mistake,
but
too. Yeah,
sometimes you never know.
This is Everything Special Needs.
On Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM. My name is Sue Schilling. We are thrilled to be joined by Rowan alumni, Deputy Director of the Partnership TMA, Anthony Johnson, who is providing some very valuable information for us here today.
What are some things that you're doing to make travel training more exciting?
Oh, one thing I really like talking about is the idea of bringing virtual reality into the classroom. So what we do, and you might see these glasses, they're as cheap as $5, I believe, at Five Below or, you know, Ollie's, you'll see them. And you just put your smartphone in them. So you'll pull up an app on Google, like Google Maps, and it has a special mode that you put it in so that you're able to use these smart, these virtual reality glasses with them. And what we do is we put the glasses on the student, and then on the whiteboard, we pull up the same map that the student is seeing, and we have the student practice walking around their community. So if they're, you know, say if there's no sidewalks, you know, how would the student walk on the street? If there's no crosswalk, you know, what's the safest part of the street to cross at? If there are no, you know, stop signs or pedestrian crossing signals, you know, how do you navigate that whole area? So, and the students really get a kick out of it because they're, you know, walking up with these goofy glasses on, and, you know, we're trying to tell them, no, don't walk that way. Don't walk that way. And, but it's a really invaluable learning experience, but it's also a lot of fun. And it's something, again, that, you know, you can do at home with your student or your child. If, you know, it's something that you don't really have access to a travel trainer for, just, you know, pull up the Google Maps app, get one of these $5, you know, sets of virtual reality glasses from Five Below, and, you know, just have them practice. You type in your address, or you can do something. Sometimes I'll really throw a curveball and put in Times Square. And can you imagine that these students are trying to, you know, figure out how to get across Times Square? So, you know, you can pull up all different kinds of addresses, and, you know, everybody, of course, wants to highlight where they live. So it's like, oh, do my address next. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It does sound a lot of fun. Now, these are various high schools, correct, that you go into?
Yes, various high schools. But we did just, breaking news, hot off the presses, we did just receive a grant from PennDOT to work with K-8 in Pennsylvania. So we'll be working more with 8th graders, especially now, 7th and 8th graders.
And so what will you be teaching them then?
Because they're not yet at the age where they might be taking public transportation by themselves, you know, we plan on doing a lot more around stranger danger
and
a lot around bike safety, which is really big to TMAs. Helping students to figure out how to make sure their helmets fit safely, how to make sure their bikes are in proper working order. We hate to see students riding around either with no helmets or, you know, their chain is like lagging on their bike. Mm-hmm. So just like simple little things that they can do every day before they go out riding their bike.
You are listening to Everything Special Needs, Rowan Radio 89.7 at WGLS FM. We'll have more right after this. You're listening to Everything Special Needs on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS FM. My name is Sue Schilling, and we're happy to be talking to Anthony Johnson, who is the Deputy Director of the Partnership TMA, talking a lot about travel training.
The thing is, if maybe somebody is listening, maybe they're a parent or an educator at a school, and they want something like this in their school, how can they go about getting it from their perspective? Maybe, you know, teachers listening and saying, we need this program at our school. How do they go about getting that?
Sure. I would think if you know, you can always call me and I can put you through to the right person. But there are two resources I would challenge you to go to in New Jersey. One is your local TMA. So in this area, it's called Cross County Connections. It's based right out of Marlton, and their website is driveless.com. So it's driveless.com. Very strange, but I think that's their ultimate mission, is to get people out of cars and to take other forms of transportation. And then the other resource is actually at Rutgers, New Brunswick, and it's called the Voorhees Transportation Institute. And that's where travel trainers are actually on staff there, and they work with New Jersey Transit to travel train people throughout New Jersey. So if a teacher is listening today, you know, either go to driveless.com or, you know, contact the Voorhees Transportation Institute. Wonderful guy there named Louie. If you talk to Louie, tell him I said hi. but yeah, great. All around a great staff. Karen Alexander is the executive director there. I'm sure she'd be really happy to help you with, I'm trying to think, Melody, Nieves, all these cool staff people there. So yeah, a lot of great resources available in New Jersey.
Are transit agencies helpful partners in the travel training process?
You know, again, because we work with SEPTA so much, and we've been really fortunate because it's such a big agency. And when we first started travel training, it was rough. You know, we had wanted to bring out buses to schools for the kids to kind of learn on before our first trip. And, you know, we couldn't find the right contact at SEPTA, you know, this huge agency, 9,600 employees. And we're like, how can we? But we finally got through to the right person, the woman who schedules buses for city and suburbs, the actual like number of buses. So, you know, and she's just the most wonderful, nicest person. I can't say enough about her. So that was one, you know, big plus with working with SEPTA, just finding the right contact person. And then the other part is when you're actually out in the field, you know, explaining to the drivers before. So like if I have a group of 20 students behind me, I'll get on the bus first and I'll say, you know, we're travel training today, you know, and hopefully the driver, you know, understands what I'm trying to say and it'll be a little more understanding with the students. But, you know, that's the rough part too, is sometimes you'll get a driver who, you know, doesn't care that you're travel training. He just wants to get them on the bus and move on to his next stop. And, you know, it just makes it a bad experience all around if, you know, you have a student who's not sure where to put the token in or not sure where to put the money in. And the driver's like, you know, oh, you know, just showing signs of exasperation. So, yeah. So, you know, it can be a real big boon to travel training if everything falls into place. But sometimes you do get, you know, those rotten apples who make it a bad experience.
This is Everything Special Needs, Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS FM. It has been a pleasure to speak with Rowan alumni Anthony Johnson, who is the Deputy Director of the Partnership TMA. We remind you, we are here every Thursday, 5 to 5:30 p.m. on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS FM. If you have some guest suggestions, guest ideas, or just overall questions or comments, you can certainly feel free to give me an email. Send me an email during the week at everythingspecialneeds@yahoo.com. Again, that is everythingspecialneeds@yahoo.com. I would be happy to collaborate with you. Maybe you have a guest suggestion, question, or comment. Please feel free to do so. If there's something on Rowan University, the campus, regarding special needs that you either want to bring to light or you would like more to be discussed about it, please, by all means, feel free to contact me and we will be able to set that up. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Everything Special Needs Radio Show. Again, Everything Special Needs Radio Show. And also check out our website at everythingspecialneeds.info, everythingspecialneeds.info. We do have a useful resource page on that. So if you're looking for maybe some summer leagues, activities, feel free to do that as well. You've been listening to Everything Special Needs on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS FM. As always, it's a pleasure to be here with you. The semester might be over, but we are here all summer long every Thursday from 5 to 5:30. So definitely tune in. My name is Sue Schilling, and we will talk to you next week on Everything Special Needs.
You've been listening to Everything Special Needs, a weekly program discussing topics and important resources concerning the special needs community. Be sure to tune in next Thursday at 5 p.m. for another edition of Everything Special Needs on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM, and online at rowanradio.com.